The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Hello. Welcome, everyone. It is up. It is up. It is up. It is up. We are up. We are up. We are up. We are up. Post-WWE SummerSlam podcast. I'm Jeremy Lambert, joined by Alex Pawlowski. Alex, how are you, buddy?
I can make the party rock. I can make the party hop. Is that right? I'm not really sure. Something karate chops. I heard karate chops in there one time.
Is karate chops on there?
Something karate chops. I'm not sure. I know karate chops rhymes with hop, so I know that there's a hop in there. So I'm assuming karate chops works, right? I'm ready. We are up. For those of you who are watching us in the UK and thereabouts, you guys are in. Let's keep them up with a fun show.
I can make the party hot. I can make your body rock. Oh, there bitches you go. Say they fucking with me. Chances are they probably not. If I had a dick, you'd probably lick it like a lollipop. Hoes speaking Japanese. I hit them with the karate chop. I'm forever popping shit, pulling up and dropping shit. Gotta argue with them, cause I love a toxic bitch. Out here playing, gotta make them understand. If ain't no ring on my finger, you ain't gonna fly on my gram. If it's up, then it's up, then it's up, then it's up.
There you go.
WWE SummerSlam. Brock Lesnar's back. Becky Lynch is back. That's not all that happened, right?
Yeah. Oh, and Goldberg is going to murder Bobby Lashley in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. That's another thing that happened.
Yeah, it is. Let's start with the big thing, right?
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar returning at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns beat John Cena, beat him clean. I thought it was a good match. Cena had it at his hope spots. Roman took the majority of this match, though. Cena hit his moves and everything, hit him with a couple Superman punches at the end. Mm-hmm. He screamed, "I'm WWE." He speared him, yeah, and then pinned him 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
He celebrates, wants to be acknowledged. Here comes the pain hit. Here comes Viking Brock with his ponytail and his beard, looking real jacked, man. And he came out. He got in Reigns' face, and Reigns is like, "I'm good, bro. I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good. Brock Lesnar came back looking like Brock Lesnar from the Raven Clan or something. That was some good stuff. I didn't care for the match.
Really?
No, I didn't. The thing was, they set it up that all Gina Cena's got to do is pin you 1, 2, 3. That's all he's going to do. I don't have to beat you up. I just got to pin you 1, 2, 3, which means the entire match is based around the threat of a surprise roll-up. Surprise roll-ups are my least favorite thing about WWE booking. So I they were just like, "Oh, hey, is Cena going to get him with this schoolboy? No, only a 2 count. Oh, how about with this schoolboy? Oh, and only a 2 count for 15 minutes. And I'd rather have watched them wrestle each other. If Roman's going to beat him, just have Cena come back and say, "I think I still got it." And Roman say, "I think you don't." And have him wrestle a match and have Roman prove that Cena doesn't have it anymore. There's your story. Instead of like seeing a guy go, I almost got you with that schoolboy. Let's see what the next one has. I don't like roll-ups. That's just like a thing I don't like. I don't like fruit roll-ups are fine. Any other kind of roll-up, I don't like.
We love distraction roll-ups. We named our show after it. We didn't talk about it last night when we did the post-SmackDown show because we'd go on like an hour and a half and we're just dead tired. But like that was what they built. Like Cena did the schoolboy and then Michael Cole's like, he kicked out, or Pat McAfee's like, he kicked out at two. And Michael Cole's like, I think that was three, maybe. And Cena's like, yeah, it was three. I got like, is it the best build in the world that was it? I thought that angle sucked last night. But
Parts of the match I did like I like the super AA, I like the AA on the table, all that stuff. The parts of the match that were an actual wrestling match, I really liked. There was just like, that was maybe 30% of the match was an actual wrestling match.
It's the most powerful move in WWE, Pulowski. Cena knows this.
It's a super thing.
He knows that's the most powerful move, so he's going to use it.
What do they call it in the 2K games where you save up an oh my god moment, an OMG moment? That's what it is. A roll up is basically an OMG moment.
Yeah. So he tried to use that to his advantage here. I like the match. It was pretty much how I expected it to go. I didn't think Cena was going to get like a ton of offense in. He's never been like an offensive wrestler anyway. He's always fought from underneath, and that's exactly what happened here. He had his hope moments. He had the one AA. He had the super AA. Roman kicked out both times. He had the one through the table as well. And then Roman put him away clean. And that's exactly what you would want, I would think. And of course, the big thing, Brock is back. How do you feel about Brock being back?
Well, I don't know yet because Brock being back is interesting. I know Paul Heyman will make it as interesting as Vince lets him. Like the whole, like you could tell Paul was like Roman, as they were leaving, Roman was like making glaring at Paul. It's like, I didn't know. How could I have known? I didn't know. What do you think? Yeah. I knew. And like Paul is scared shitless that his ex is going to beat up his current guy. And that's not okay. He doesn't like that. So I love that they're going to basically partially make it about that. Brock basically, because for those of you who don't know, after the show went off the air, Brock gave a couple of Germans and an F5 to Cena. So it's not like babyface Brock is back. He just wants that title. And he's going to go through Roman to do it. So I like the idea of badass heel Roman with nobody who's been able to even come close to putting him out. Now he's got to go up against Brock, Viking Brock. Like that is a cool thing, like a wrinkle for Roman's reign. But beyond that, like if they actually put the strap on Lesnar and he's gone until Mania, I don't like that much. I like having the titles defended on shows.
Roman doesn't defend the title on.
No, but he defends it every month.
He's there defending it every month. That's true. I don't know what Brock's schedule is going to be, if he's going to work the pay-per-view loops. He's obviously not working house shows, and I don't know how often he's showing up to SmackDown. Maybe he'll show up to the, because he's going to be on Fox, right?
USA after today has got to be like, when's that draft happening?
Yeah,
because we'd like one or more of these people. Thank you.
It is very possible that Brock that he makes more television appearances than usual because he's going to be on Fox now. Does that mean he's going to defend the title? Should he win the title? Like, when are they going to do the match? They can't hold off until Survivor Series. They can do it in Saudi.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're doing that. They're doing that title. It's Roman versus Brock in Saudi. At the same time, we're getting Bill getting revenge for his son on Bobby Lashley at Saudi. Sands of Time is going to be an all timer. I'm not going to watch it because I don't watch those blood money shows, but it's going to be a good one.
Is there a chance they do it at MSG? That's SmackDown show.
Maybe
you pop a big rating on that one. You do Brock and Roman.
If they're going to do something big at MSG, they might do that. They might do that. They might do a now necessary actual Becky versus Bianca match at MSG. That might be a big enough draw to be the main event. I'm not sure.
Guys, get your super chats in, get your question, comment, statement read on the air. We got a bunch about Roman and Cena and Brock returning. Start with our guy, Frank Aguilar says, Justin, we thought Bob O'Neill was all elite. Yeah, he's back. Fed is back, baby. Fed not dead at all. Taxel says, happy for Bob. I like how we've just got Bob O'Neill over on this. Evan Wright says, sorry to hear Bob O'Neill is no longer all elite. My God, what has happened to this website? Nick Zoltix says, battle of the man buns, Roman versus Brock. Who's your pick? Loser's man bun will be imprisoned within the sands of time. Can't do it. Can't do it like you, Alex. But Vala Mami Pudi. Sorry if I fucked that up. Nice Roman, nice Dean Ambrose cosplay. Brock. Alicia Ellis says, Heyman looks super nervous, super suspicious right before Brock's music hit. He looked guilty, like he knew Brock was coming out. I'd have to go back and rewatch that. I didn't notice
Heyman's
reaction before the music hit.
Yeah, he looked very shocked once the music had hit. Maybe he was overcompensating or whatever. I don't know. I'm not really sure.
Jordan Scott makes a similar comment to you, Alex. So Brock on SmackDown on Fox USA Network must be pissed. Dan V says, I'm excited for the custody of Heyman ladder match. Dan V also says, now I'd much rather see Lashley versus Lesnar, if I'm being honest, even with Roman's character. Yeah. I've seen too much Roman versus Lesnar. Like, I agree with that. It's been a while. It hasn't been this Roman. And this is a total new wrinkle to the story. So I'm okay with it.
No, what? Listen, once they put Heyman with Roman, you kind of figured if Lesnar came back, they were going to run this angle.
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Lashley versus Lesnar match. I don't think they think there's that kind of money in it. Like, that's not the same thing as a Reigns Lesnar with Heyman. Whose side is he on match? I would love to see Lashley. They obviously feel like Lashley is a secondary type champion. That's why they're saddling him with Big Bill, you know?
Yeah. What do we got? Heyman on a pole says Trevor L. They ain't putting Heyman up like that. Heyman's going to be, he's been very good with Roman playing like a background role because Roman has carried a lot of things on the mic. Now we're going to see, I think, Heyman come to the forefront a little bit more because, look, Lesnar can cut his promos, but he's used to just standing around, like bobbing around and everything. I think we're going to see a lot of like Heyman kind of like selling for Lesnar almost and like talking for Brock without actually talking for Brock, if you know what I mean. Like just being like, what are you doing here? Why are you back? You don't want to do this. Like things like that where Brock doesn't have to say anything, but he just intimidates Heyman enough to where he just does all the talking for him and tells the story for him without Brock actually talking.
There's something really, to me, interesting. Like the last time we saw Lesnar, he's felt uninspired to me for a while. But the Lesnar who tore apart a brand new car and chucked a car door into the audience. Remember that guy? That's the kind of Brock we could get here. And it could turn Roman into this paranoid like guy who knows something's up. He knows Paul is on Brock's side and he's trying to figure out how to even prove it. And then you could have Brock tossing Usos through plate glass windows. There's all kinds of fun stuff you can do with badass Brock who just wants that belt. He's not a heel or a face. He just wants the title and Roman happens to have it. And then you can play Roman as a cool, as a different version of this guy now.
Eli says, Brock looks like sweaty, beefy love child of Hulk Hogan and Wolverine. I'm excited for what they're going to do. I would imagine Brock is on the show on Friday.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. You know, people are going to be mad that it's Brock all over again. Here we go again. Who are the new stars getting made? WWE makes moments, man. They make moments. They make the follow-up is going to be what it's going to be. They just make moments.
They make moments, and then 4 months later, they unmake a moment to make a new moment.
Yeah.
It's like the first moment they made 4 months ago never even happened. We're going to get really deep into that later in the show.
We're going to get really deep into it here in just a second. Derek Bowles says, it's time for Paul to get a suplex from Brock Lesnar. Some stupid punk says, Vince, sorry, insert 50 people, budget cuts, now bring in Lesnar. I don't think it quite works like that, but I get the point. Anything else on Roman, Cena, Brock?
No, I mean, I don't want to seem like I was I'm being too harsh on it. I don't like the premise of the match of one guy is going to keep trying to get surprise roll-ups for the entire match. Just book it like a regular match. I liked the finish. I liked some of the spots involved. But once you say to yourself, we're booking a match where one guy tries to roll up the other guy for the first half of the match, I feel like, you're shooting yourself in the foot and you can't actually have a really great match that way. But that's all.
I don't mind that for one, because they've gotten the roll up so over that it's a viable finish in the WWE universe. And two, like yeah. I can buy that John Cena, who hasn't wrestled a televised match since 2019, just knows he needs to get this guy quickly, because the longer it goes, like the more he's screwed. Like this isn't quite the story that they're telling, but you can makeshift in your mind that like Cena just knows he ain't that guy anymore, and he just needs to catch Roman, who's at the top of his game. And again, if you put that story out there a little bit better, I can buy it a little bit more. But in my head, because I'm a John Cena fan, I'll make it up and play it that way, like a WWE fan will do.
Yeah.
Let's get into making a moment and then squandering it 4 months later. A lot of super chats on Becky Lynch and Bianca Belair. I'll read them all shortly, but Alex, let's talk about this. So Bianca, all pre-show, they're hyping Bianca and Sasha Banks. They make it seem like it's going to happen, right? Even though it was reported by Wrestling Inc. that she was going to be off. She wasn't at SmackDown last night. They pulled her from the house shows last week. Bianca got pulled from those house shows as well, but Sasha was not at SmackDown last night. It seems like Bianca was obviously cleared. They hype it all show. They show the pre-match video. Here comes Bianca. I think Greg Hamilton, the announcer, is just like, Sasha Banks unable to compete. That's it. Just no explanation. Unable to compete. Carmella is the replacement. Look, I didn't think they were going full bore with Carmella, because I think they really would have had a riot on their hands. I thought if they were going to pull some shit like this, they would had to have Becky. They had Becky, which is great. Like, it was great that they had Becky. Becky comes out. Huge, huge, huge pop. Great to have Becky back. Big return for her. Tosses Carmella out. Beats her up, says, get out of here. Good. We don't need to see Bianca Carmella again. We've literally seen that every week for the past like 5 weeks. She's like, hey, Bianca, let's do a match. Bianca's like, cool. I'm fine with that. They shake hands. Becky decks her, hits her with the manhandle slam. 1, 2, 3, about 25 seconds. Becky Lynch is your SmackDown Women's Champion. Bianca's reign is over after she just beat Carmella and Zelina for 5 months. Alex?
Man. Now, I saw Dave Meltzer tweet that they knew Sasha wasn't going to be cleared for SummerSlam 8 days ago. Now, I don't know if that's true, but that's what Dave Meltzer tweeted.
Mike Johnson said, I think like Wednesday, that they were both cleared for the show. So I don't know what happened. Obviously something changed between then, because
something changed and they decided
Sasha wasn't there on Friday. I think based on the fact that she wasn't there on Friday, I think they definitely knew she wasn't gonna be ready to go.
They may have been holding out hope that she was gonna be cleared. I don't know if I don't know what was up. If it was a COVID thing, I know they need to get like a negative test before, like even if they show no symptoms, need a negative test. Maybe the negative test needs to pop on Saturday during the day before she's cleared for the night or whatever. I don't know. And it didn't. Maybe that was it. I don't know what was wrong with her. She wasn't there. But if they knew she wasn't there and they're still running this Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair things, knowing that is a super draw for people to tune in. For me, going into the night, Sasha versus Bianca was the match I was looking forward to most by leaps and bounds, because the first one was so spectacular. And because we hadn't seen Sasha, like if Sasha hadn't gone away for those months and then she comes back, like if she hadn't gone away, they would have just ruined her by having her lose matches or wrestle the same people over and over and over again. But it felt fresh. Somehow this rematch felt fresh. I was looking forward to seeing Bianca versus Sasha. And I was like, I honestly don't know who was going to win. They might put the title back on Sasha. They might keep it on Bianca. Let her keep going. Who knows what's going to happen? I'm looking forward to this match. So they have Bianca come out, and they haven't announced that Sasha's not here. So obviously Sasha's here and ready to compete, right? Because they have Bianca do the whole entrance. And then the ring announcer goes, Sasha can't compete. So here's Carmella. And I'm like, that can't be your alternative. I mean, it turns out it wasn't, but the thing about it, it's so like Vince McMahon to intentionally let the crowd down so that he can pick them back up. Like it can't be just Sonya Deville comes out and she says, Sasha Banks is unable to compete tonight, but I happen to have found you a suitable alternative. And then Becky Lynch's music hits. If you're going to do this match, just have Becky come back as the surprise. Why might make us all hate the WWE while Carmella's walking down, which is unfair to Carmella. She didn't put herself in that position. That was them booking her terribly and make it having her lose a whole bunch of matches, calling herself the most beautiful woman in all of WWE. Like, don't do that to yourself. Or how about this? Carmella comes down. She's all ready to do this match. Becky comes down and she says, hey, can I join? And they make it a triple threat. And then you have Becky shit can Bianca to the outside, hit the manhandle slam on Carmella and pin Carmella 1-2-3 in one move before Bianca can get back in. And then Bianca's like, well, I won the title off of Carmella, who loses all the time. So you haven't ruined anything there. And Bianca can stay undefeated. And now she's pissed at Becky. And they can you can have that doing what they did. By having Becky say, can I have a match with you, champ? And Becky and Bianca say, sure. And then Becky win in one move. Like, the damage that they do to Bianca, I don't think it counteracts all the good feelings, the good vibes of Becky coming back. I'm so glad Becky is back. I truly am. I've missed her. She's amazing. You don't have to screw over one of your top young talents and your current champ in order to bring Becky back. You don't have to do it. Doing it like this feels like you're shooting yourself in the foot. Why do that? Why do that to yourself and to your fans and to your talent? Becky, like Bianca didn't deserve this. Bianca's done everything they've asked of her. She's made herself into a star and gotten over constantly, even though she's wrestling the same bad people over and over and over again. She makes it work and people like her. And then you do this to her. Why? What are you doing? This doesn't make any sense to me that they would do it this way.
They don't know what they're doing. Alex, this is the thing. They create the moment. The moment was Sasha and Bianca at WrestleMania, and Bianca won. It was a great match. It's honestly my favorite WWE match of the year, and that's why I was so excited for the rematch tonight.
Yes.
Bianca won. How'd they follow that up? They did the Bayley program, which the Bayley program was good, but it went a little bit long. Bayley unfortunately got hurt, and then so they couldn't like completely finish that up. And then she just did the Zelina and Carmella stuff for it felt like forever, and just it dragged and dragged and dragged. Finally, Sasha came back. I was looking forward to the match. They did this. They had the moment with Becky's return. They had it. They didn't have to do much with this. It was Becky's return at the very. I like your booking. If she just pinned, that's what I thought they were going to do. Honestly, I thought they were just about to do a triple threat match. And then Carmella would take the fall. And then you could just say like, okay, you didn't beat me one-on-one. And now we do the one-on-one match. And right. When they set off and they were going to do one-on-one, I was like, I didn't think they were going to do this. I will say that. I didn't think they were going to do this. I also didn't think we were going to get like a long kind of dragged out match. I don't know how ring ready Becky, she looked in tremendous shape. Don't get me wrong, but like there's a difference between looking in tremendous shape and being ready to go for a 12-minute match, possibly on short notice, because I do think she was going to return tonight. I don't think that she had any plans of actually wrestling tonight until the Sasha thing happened, and then they had to switch it up. So I think that's why they went with the short match. In that respect, I get it. Don't do this to Bianca Belair, though. Just do not do this to Bianca Belair. because you've just completely taken away her title reign and everything that it meant and was supposed to meant. And people, I know people have pointed out in the chat, I'm sure we got plenty of super chats about it. It was very Kofi-esque of you gave him this moment, you gave him the reign, and then he did everything he was supposed to do that you asked of him. He did bad feuds that you know, just kind of middling stuff that unfortunately wasn't as memorable as it probably should have been. And then how do you end it? And just a quick squash match of like, oh, he got caught. Kofi never got a follow-up, which is horrible. I expect Bianca to get a follow-up, hopefully. God forbid she doesn't get a follow-up. But it was an they made people dislike Becky Lynch. Like, Becky Lynch came back and everybody was excited for this. And in 30 seconds, they're like, wait a second. What? No, what the fuck? Like, we now dislike Becky Lynch. You, I'm not going to say they killed two acts here. They greatly damaged two acts in one fell swoop.
Yeah, no, this was bad on every level. But there's even a third option that I thought of. Like, have Bianca stand in there and Carmella comes out and she says, "Really? You want to get this work again? Okay, let's go." And she beats Carmella in two moves. Then she gets on the mic and says, "Sasha, I don't know where you are, okay? You got to stop ducking me, child, because when I see you, you are getting that ass whooped. Okay, but until you get back from wherever you ran off to, it looks like I'm out of competition." And then Becky's music hits, and Becky comes back, and she's out there. She does her whole entrance. She says, "Am I competition enough for you?" And then I'll see you on Friday, champ, and drops the mic. And then we're like, "Oh, awesome! Bianca versus Becky. I can't wait for this feud to have a real match involved in this feud." Like, that would create anticipation. You're definitely tuning in. We have no idea at that point that Brock's coming back. So you're definitely tuning in on Friday to watch Bianca versus Becky start up, because that's a huge thing. And by that point, is Sasha cleared? Because then you have one of the best triple threat feuds available to you in the history of women's wrestling. All of this is available to you if you just don't do the stupid thing they did.
You just needed to deliver Becky. There was going to be no, there wasn't going to be a good alternative to Sasha being out, unless you could have actually had like a 12-minute match with Becky. And again, I don't think she was ready for that.
I don't know how long she's been in training, taking bumps, whatever. I don't know anything about that. But this is not the way to bring her back. This can't be it.
Once Sasha was out, all you had to do was deliver Becky. Like you said, they could have thrown Carmella out there. They could have thrown Zelina out there. They honestly, what they should have done, besides Carmella or Zelina, because we've seen it a million times, put Naomi in that spot. Let Naomi and Bianca have a good like 10-11 minute match. Bianca wins. You know, she's like a similar promo to what you said. "I respect Naomi. She stepped up. I proved I'm the EST. Like, who else is left?" and everything. And then Becky comes out. You deliver a good match. You still get Becky. There are a million ways to do this. Mm-hmm. There are a million ways to do this. All you had to do was deliver Becky. Once Sasha was out, all you had to do was deliver Becky. They delivered Becky and then immediately shot themselves in the foot with how they delivered Becky, because they ruined anything they had with Bianca. Just nonsensical bullshit. People are saying Toni Storm, like, you could have thrown anybody, Toni Storm, Liv. It could have just been anybody that went out there and just had like a good wrestling match with Bianca. So you at least get Bianca in competition, which is what you were promised with the Sasha match. And then you still got Becky. The fans were going to be disappointed with no Sasha. There was going to be nothing they could have done to replace Sasha. Again, unless you could have done a 12-15 minute match with Becky. And I don't think they were ready for that. Yeah. So in place, they gave you this.
Right. The other option that you had was to pull somebody over from Raw and call it the brand invitational.
Asuka, anybody.
Asuka versus Bianca is a match we have not seen and would be a lot of fun. And they could turn in a great 11-13 minute match. Yeah. They could be very good together. We don't know. But I tell you what we do know is that this is not the way to do the thing you wanted. It just isn't. It's so confounding. It is building for moments with zero plan today it came out, I think it was today it came out, today I was talking, I saw it, that Mustafa Ali was interviewed about the 2019 Money in the Bank. He was supposed to win it. He got told by Vince, okay, actually Brock's coming in, he's going to take the refresh from you. He got told he was going to lose, that Brock was going to win during the entrances. Like, Baron Corbin was walking to the ring, and Mustafa Ali gets the call over from Vince and says, okay, you're actually, Brock's going to win, not you. Like, how do you go out and have a match at that point if you're Mustafa Ali? Also, what did they do that was so awesome when Brock got the briefcase? Like, the long-term booking, the plan they had in place. Well, he got to be Boombox Brock for a while. That was fun. But then he cashed in on Rollins at Extreme Rules. And a month later, he lost the Universal title right back to Rollins. Like, there was no payoff for them to do this kind of stuff. They just do moments, and they don't care what happens down the road. It doesn't matter to them. As long as there's a moment, we'll just package that. We'll make an NFT out of it and sell it, and that's it. That's all we want. We don't care anything about that. We have any plans for anything.
A lot of super chats on Becky, Bianca, as you would expect. Rafael Garcia says, people of color wrestling fans are deflated. The response to this along racial lines is telling. It's not good. It's not good. Again, a lot of comparisons to the Kofi stuff, and it's not good at all. Walter Baker says they aired the video package. Yep. Jordan Scott, oh, I forgot, Fox has Brock and Becky, USA mad. Alex said that. Lisa Lockhart says, Becky, very happy. Is Bianca losing in 10 seconds? Sadness. Also, just for Alex, Sands of Time. I can't do it. Do it, Alex. I'm not good at it.
Sands of Time.
There you go. I love me some Soba says, trash show. After Bianca got squashed by Becky, that did it for me. Energy for the show was completely gone. Tony P says, Black Twitter has been on fire after that 10 seconds of BS. Bezo Banks says, going to be honest, I was done with this after done with this show after that squash. Love Becky, but it feels like they just don't care about their black baby face organically over champions with the treatment of Kofi and Bianca. Zach Barber says, mixed emotions with Becky Lynch. Raw desperately needed her, but she's one of the goats, and that win was some goat level shiznit. I don't know, man. Like, I love Becky. That win just wasn't it. I don't know how you explain that, because Bianca, like, she says she's the EST. She's ready for everything. She just gets caught. Like, I understand you can do, like, oh, she just got caught. But, like, it ain't the time for that. The same thing with Kofi. Oh, Kofi just got caught. It ain't the time for that shit.
We've established the thing about Kofi, A, he got until October. Like, he got a couple extra months in there to actually have a full-length reign. And B, Kofi got caught by an F5, which had been established over years and years as a one-hitter quitter. I don't remember the manhandle slam, like, winning a lot of matches with that kind of impact. Like, oh, she caught you in her version of the rock bottom. Well, that's it. Can't get out of that one. Like, I thought when she hit, like, Bianca was going to kick out at 2.5. I said to myself, they're not having this match unless Becky can go a full 8 minutes, because it would be suicide to not do it the way that they actually ended up doing it. So I thought Bianca was going to kick out and be like, oh my God, you almost caught me. Okay, now let's go. I thought that was going to be what they were going to do. When she hit the one move, I was like, surely that can't be it. But it was it. And it was it for you do so much harm to your entire being by doing this, then the good that was the amount of joy in that audience when Becky came out was completely, like, unfathomable. And then for a giant chunk of your fans, that joy completely deflated. And the thing is that Vince has no idea that's what he's done, and he doesn't care. Like, he doesn't care that, like, oh, hey, maybe if I do this, all of the people of color who like my product will not like it. Oh, well, like, he doesn't even think about it. It's just ridiculous.
Brian Heath says they did Bianca dirty. Shake my head. This company sure knows how to spoil a great return. Brian F., how do you piss people off with a Becky Lynch return? They did it. God bless them. Look, man, they make these things difficult, but they keep finding new ways. Basil Banks says, oh, God, it's going to be Becky and Charlotte at Survivor Series, ain't it? Only WWE could kill the goodwill they had with the Becky return in 20 minutes. CJ Dar says, I was so excited to see Becky back. Then she beat Bianca in 5 seconds and killed all the momentum. Why not just have a good match? I don't think Becky was there to have a good match, but there were other ways, as we explained, that they could have had a good match. JW Pringle says, do you think Banks got word of the match? Do you think Banks got word of what the match was going to be and nope the F out? I don't think so. Like Sasha.
I have all the faith in the world that had Banks been there, they would have had a classic 18-minute match. Like, I don't know who would have gone over, but it would have been a great, great match. I have no doubt of that. But this was all a panic move. I feel like Becky was going to come back at the end of that Belair and Banks match. Whoever won was going to stand there, stand tall, and then Becky comes out. So they were like, well, we don't have Sasha, so let's do the worst thing imaginable instead.
Yeah. I think they had Becky's return lined up. You could have done the same return and just not done the title switch and piss off the fans. Just keep the title on Bianca. Just keep it on her. Have her have a good match and then keep the title on her. Brian Heath says they minimize big moments. Cyclops is better than Wolverine says, can't believe Vince made me hate Becky, new Hogan. Cyclops is better than Wolverine also says, not only did Becky win, but she won like a heel. Wow. I don't know if she like quite won like a heel. What do you think of that?
She went in for the handshake and then pulled her into a forearm and then used that surprise attack, which opened up Bianca to her finisher. Like, it wasn't a heel move, but it was certainly underhanded. And I mean, like, I totally get that Becky wants to be champion again. She took all that time off and she wants to be champion again. Like, I understand that, but was it a heel move? I don't know, but it was definitely underhanded.
I mean, she's the man, right? She's not babyface or heel.
No, that's
she's
the thing. It's in keeping with what Becky was. Like, they made sure that she walked that stone cold line.
Yeah.
That was what was made her the man. That was what made her the person that we all loved. Because it's very in keeping with it. Like Becky oftentimes would just like decide, hey, I'm going to take a shortcut in this match just because I can, because I'm Becky, because you love me anyway. And that's, we do. And we do love her anyway, mostly because of that.
By the way, Cyclops is better than Wolverine / Logan. Shoot me a DM because I owe you a super chat from yesterday. So shoot me a DM on the super chat so you don't have to pay to get it read. Jamincito Gomez says, heel Becky, laughing face emoji. JJ Lee says, to be black and a WWE fan is exhausting. Zach Barber says, Becky hasn't been pinned clean since SummerSlam 2018. She couldn't lose, but squashing Bianca wasn't necessary. Don't put her in the match then.
Don't put her in the match.
Yeah, or do
or
the triple
do the
threat.
Triple threat. The triple threat was right there. When Becky came out, I was like, oh, this is a triple threat. Okay, I get it. So Becky will pin Carmella, which protects Bianca. I mean, that's the way to go. Okay, fine. And then all of a sudden they didn't do that. And I was like, what are you doing? It doesn't make any sense.
Frank Aguilar says the whole show until the main event was one big. Sorry to hear that. Also, I'm loving how the biggest baby face on the timeline is Bob O'Neill. Rafael Garcia says, with Charlotte winning, I have a scary feeling we're going to go back to Becky two belts. You know they'd do it too. I thought we were about to see Charlotte two belts with this. Once the stuff of like Sasha was going to get was out of it, I thought we were about to see Charlotte early and Charlotte a little bit later as well. Jamincito Gomez says, imagine a fuck Becky chant on Friday, cringe face emoji. The crowd ain't like gonna fully turn against Becky like that, but they didn't do her any favors.
No, listen, it's not Becky's fault that she happens to work for a megalomaniacal 75-year-old madman. Like he's a tyrant. Like, he has these ideas, nobody can talk him out of it. He says, we're doing this, and not to go back to the same interview, but Mustafa Ali says, like, they tell me this thing that I'm not going to win the Money in the Bank. They tell me that 5 minutes before I go out there.
Less than that.
And less than that. So as I'm going out there. And so I just have to go, absolutely, sir, no problem. Because otherwise I don't get to pick up my check the next week. And to me, I'm like, I would just say, all right, and then take the Money in the Bank briefcase anyway and dare them to fire the Money in the Bank winner, which they might have done anyway. But
they would have.
Like, I get the point of, well, this is my boss telling me I have to do this, and I guess I will do it. So it's not Becky's fault. Maybe Becky knows the implications of this are not good and look bad on her, but it's not her call.
Sean said on Twitter that, like, he thinks that he's going to be a let it play out guy with this. Bless the let it play out, because he's like, I don't think Becky is coming back to do, like, bad creative. And if they had a plan, look, man, I think they threw this together last minute when Sasha was. I don't think they have a plan. We'll see if they figure it out. My counter to Sean, like, having this kind of faith is they put two belts on Becky at WrestleMania 35. And her first feud coming out of that was Lacey Evans.
Yeah.
I don't think they got a plan on any of this.
Nope. Zero plan.
Javon, I'm just going to pop this on the air because it's there. Javon Gatewood says SmackDown's in Knoxville on September 17th. Bianca's hometown. That should be an interesting show. Yeah, she's going to lose. That's what's going to happen on that show.
Yeah. Yeah. She might have her actual one-on-one rematch on a SmackDown in her hometown and lose that match. Clean as a sheet. That's probably what's going to happen.
Psychos better than Wolverine says the Bianca Becky match helped no one. Valab mom, I can't say this.
Valab, just say Valab. That's what I do.
Okay, Valab says Sasha replaced with Carmella. That's bad. Psych is actually Becky. That's good. It was a squash match. That's bad. Yep. CJ Dar says Bianca, who was in the main event of WrestleMania this year, lost her title in 5 seconds after being booked strong for 4 months. Makes no sense at all. Create moments, man. They just create the moments. Shawnika says, between keeping the hype package and the way that match went, I was done. Decided to go find some laundry to fold and said. That's the other thing is, like, the crowd was dead after this.
Yeah, and after this, they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to follow this up with Drew and Jinder.
Yeah.
Like, who, what are you, like, this is the thing. This is where I say that if I wasn't being paid to do this, I wouldn't watch. Like, this, yeah. Like, if I was still a WWE fan on the fence after what we saw last night in the other place, and I'm watching SummerSlam going, SummerSlam better be good, and I get to the moment where Becky comes back, I'm like, oh, that's great. Oh, but she squashes the great champ that I also love in 5 seconds. Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of done with WWE. And I think that a lot of people, metaphorically speaking, went to go find some laundry to fold. Like, folding laundry is a much better task, much more enjoyable and soothing to the soul, more so than watching WWE right now.
I think I read this, but I'll read it again. Cyclops better than Wolverine. The Bianca-Becky match helped no one at all. Ozzy Kingpin says, unpopular opinion, but I enjoyed the Becky return. Unexpected, and has us talking. And has us talking for the wrong reasons.
Wrong reasons, man. Like, no. Becky coming back is awesome. The pop she received, amazing. A forgotten moment that I really love that I think nobody's going to remember is Bianca being genuinely excited that Becky was coming back.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, because Bianca is excited. She has new competition and, like, basically a living legend in what Becky was before she got pregnant and had to leave. Bianca was excited to face her. Like, it looked genuinely excited. Like, somebody told her right before the match started, Becky's going to hit one move on you. You're going to get pinned. Like, she was so excited to see Becky coming that at that moment, I feel like there's no way that she knew if she was going to get done dirty like that. It's ridiculous how they did that.
Nerd Guru says, late to the party, but as a huge Becky fan and Bianca is amazing, I'm appalled and disappointed. Becky and Bianca didn't deserve this. Heartbroken. That's the thing, man. Like, they did them both wrong. They did them both wrong. Like, it's worse for Bianca, but that didn't help Becky at all. That didn't help her at all, because that should have been a big moment for her and her return, a big reaction. She got with the big reaction, but then it turned sour, especially on social media. I think the crowd, maybe a little less because they were still happy to see Becky, but the reaction definitely wasn't good on social media. And even the crowd was deflated. The crowd was absolutely deflated after that. Jemencito Gomez says another. Did Becky look too skinny? Her arms look half the size as before she left. I mean, she's been working out. She worked out some of the weight and everything. And I don't know. She looked good. I thought she looked good. And I don't know how ready she is to go for a long match. Again, I don't think she was ready to go for a long match. If she would, they would have delivered something there. No. Joshua Baker says one of the few glaring weaknesses AEW has is the way they present their women's division, and WWE just refuses to take advantage of that. That is certainly my complaint with AEW, is they don't do a ton with their women's division. Yep. And yeah, WWE, they got all the women's talent in the world. They got a lot of top talent. And Triple H tell you it's the best, all the top women are in their company. But the way they treat them, just not good.
I would say not for long if you keep booking them like this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they just have like Asuka just sitting on the sidelines because creative has nothing for her. Like, creative has nothing for Asuka, who is legitimately maybe their best worker. I think Sasha's probably the best worker. She's, but like Asuka, she's
like objectively looking at her entire career before she came to the States, she might be the greatest women's wrestler ever.
Yeah.
Like she was in the Money in the Bank briefcase and hasn't Money in the Bank match and hasn't appeared on television since. Like, it's no, just got nothing for you, kid.
It ain't good. William Broderick says, I legitimately don't know how they book out of this. They don't either. They'll just try to figure it out week to week. Shanika says, don't forget the immediate highlights of the Olympic gold medal winners afterwards.
Yeah.
Felt bad for them because that was awkward AF. Yeah.
Yeah. No, the two African American Olympic heroes come out and I was like, hey, yeah, maybe you guys should not want to join WWE considering how they might book you.
We're past the Becky and Brock returns. We're talking about Drew and Jinder. Sean, how you feeling about it?
Drew and Jinder?
Yeah.
All due respect, I watched it on Peacock because I was taking a big fat shit in the meeting. It was short. It was interesting. Yeah, I lied about the interesting part. It existed. I got interviews with both of them coming to Fightful over the next few weeks. But yeah, is my audio better tonight?
Yes, much better.
Okay, good. This is just on my computer. But I thought it was one of those shows that I think could have been remembered as like an all-time great show if they did like two things differently. Like, I don't know what the deal is with Becky yet. Obviously, it's been rumored she's going to come back. Did we need Rick Boogs on this show? No.
Yeah, we did.
No, we did.
Boogs?
No, we did.
He rules. The three-man band with Boogs, Nakamura, and McAfee?
Didn't need it. Awesome. Didn't need it.
I hate it.
Didn't need the Carmella swerve even, although yeah. Maybe that accentuated it a little bit, but didn't need that. And you could have had a good match with Bianca and Becky. And I'm like, I didn't even see anybody say, oh, they're saving it for. But I'm thinking, it's fucking Allegiant Stadium.
I don't know where you're at on this, Sean. I don't think Becky was ready to do like a 12-minute match or maybe something. Not. And then that's why they did this. But we were talking before you came on. It's like, then you know what? Then deliver a Bianca-Naomi match for 10 minutes and then have Becky come out. You don't have to just have Becky come out and beat her in 30 seconds. There are other ways around this. But I don't think they were ready to do a 10, 12-minute Becky match. I don't think she was ready for it.
Or you have the Carmella thing come out, and then Becky comes out and says, hey, can I join? And they make it a triple threat. And Becky tosses Bianca over the top rope, hits one move on Carmella, and pins Carmella. Then she's the champ, and Bianca didn't get pinned. And that moment at WrestleMania doesn't feel hollow now because of that booking. And you still get Bianca versus Becky down the line. I don't know why you did this. This seems like the worst possible option.
I mean, Bill Goldberg hasn't been ready for like most of his matches, and he still does them. Although tonight, I rather enjoyed that outside of the finish. Like Bobby Lashley destroying a senior citizen's knee, hitting him with a chair over and over again, and incapacitating his son, and the crowd being like, this is that shit we like. this is that shit we like. Oh, man. That was really good. The Becky return was very special. The Brock return. Like, when did they – my I think I don't want to say her name on the air because of fucking weirdos. But my wife was like, they signed Goro? What happened here? He looks awesome.
He's jacked, brother. Looking real jacked.
He looks like a Viking cowboy. I love it.
Yeah, and I've never seen a Viking cowboy before until now. But, yeah, we had reported earlier this summer that WWE wanted him back, wanted him to come back in. And I got told, well, what they want isn't necessarily what Brock wants, but they're going to get him in as soon as they possibly can. So that worked out pretty well. But, yeah, I've got to hop off here, get some work done, but wanted to make a little cameo, guys. I'm going to be doing...
What work are you doing?
Lots of work. Lots of work. Tell me what kind of work you do.
Lots of work, Sean. This is my third straight show of the weekend, and I'm pumping out 30 articles a day, and I'm going to do another show tomorrow. Sorry. I'm doing another 30 man. Articles.
I'm just out here breaking the biggest wrestling news stories of the last decade. Who cares? You know, no big deal. Just staying humble. Syrup sandwiches and crime allowances. But
this is why we're the best team, Sean, and we're untouchable.
That's true.
I was gonna say
that's true. But this week, I'm going to try to do a show on Fightful Select covering Rampage or some of it, SummerSlam, and maybe TakeOver. I'll hopefully be home for that. But when I scheduled my flight back on a Sunday, I thought, oh, well, there will be a Triple H media call to cover that evening, so I better be on it.
Do we need to do another media call after TakeOver?
Probably. Oh, thank you guys for welcoming me into your humble abode.
Thanks, buddy. Sean Ross Sapp with the run in there. All right. We had still a lot of super chats on Becky, Bianca, and Brock as well. Run through these. R26 says, I'm a Becky fan, not a Bianca fan. That sucked. There you go. Our guy Drew Nicholas says, the last time a female babyface is booked well. And I mean an actual babyface, not the man style of babyface. Dude, an actual last time a male babyface was booked well. Like they have a babyface booking issue. That's a problem with this company. They're not good at booking babyfaces. They book them all to just get their ass beat all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible.
Roman Cena stuff. Rafael Garcia, we'll circle back to that, and then we'll get through the rest of this card. Rafael Garcia says... We won't get it, but I would love a sequel to the two-man power trip with Brock and Roman destroying everyone. Some people thought that was going to happen. Some people definitely thought that they were going to like shake hands and that's where they were going to go. They won't, but it'd be something different, right?
It would be something different. It would be. It might be a lot of fun, but I don't think that's happening now. No.
Yeah. Bored Dude 630 says, as much as I hate Brock, I popped harder seeing him return than I did for the CM Punk. Just saying, it's each their own. I enjoyed both returns. Brian Heath says, Cena going back to his wacky roll-up gimmick. Dan V 900 says, I still have no idea if Big E cashes in on Lashley or Reigns. If Vince cared about making stars, Big E would be properly built up and then beat Reigns. He beat Corbin at the start of the show. What more do you want from him? The thing with the briefcase, and I will say this, they've gotten fans so used to the briefcase being cashed in within like the first 2 weeks or whatever that like it doesn't have to be done that way. Right?
No,
they have a whole year to do this. Like if they wait until Mania to actually do like a cash in, it's okay. The thing is, you do have to build him up though, and
right. You know,
sticking him on a pre-show match on SummerSlam, literally the last minute, ain't like the best way to go about it, I don't think. But it doesn't have to be done immediately.
Yeah, I think that the contract being something you can use over the course of an entire year, it allows them to do something like they did last year with Otis, where they had absolutely no idea what they were going to do with Otis having the briefcase. And they stalled and they stalled and they stalled and they realized, we can't do anything with Otis having the briefcase. So let's book him to lose the briefcase. And like, if you say it's got to be done, if it happens in July, it's got to happen before October
or whatever. You give them several months to do it, but not forever. And then you actually have to have a plan in place, because it's unconscionable to me to have Big E get put over and win the briefcase, and then the only thing you have for him to do for the first several weeks is make eyes at Paul Heyman, give Bianca Belair a penmanship lesson, and wrestle a hobo. Like, that's it. Like, that's, I said hobo, by the way. that's not the best thing to do. Also, it what you're talking about, a long time with the briefcase, works when it's a conniving heel that's going to wait for the absolute perfect moment to cash in. When it's Big E, who can bench press dudes into the sun, like, he should be able to cash in whenever the hell he feels like it, because he's confident enough he can win the match. I mean, that's the problem with putting it on a guy like Big E, unless you have plans for him.
I do like that Big E, like, when Heyman does his promos, Big E just, like, turns around. He's like, hey, I got this. Like,
yeah.
You know, you think your guy's untouchable and everything, but, like, I got that. Big E is not the guy. He shouldn't be, like, cashing in after a long match or right. whatever, and then, like, taking a minute. It should be one-on-one, straight up, beat him clean and all that stuff. But I do like that he puts that seed out there, like, you know what, man? It could just be any time. After this Brock match, your boy's a little bit worn out. Whoever wins, like, I got this, man. You got to worry about that, too. So I do like that. But you got to have a plan. Do they have a plan? Probably not. Ducking Llama or Big Mike says, Lesnar, babyface. I don't know if it's a babyface. And what happens to Big E now? And you can be patient with the Big E stuff if you have a plan. Riptide 9998 says, my internet dropped with 2 minutes left in the Roman match. Thanks, stupid water gun segment. Thanks a lot. Ducking Llama says, I tried to buy a new Cena shirt, but the only way to get it is if you buy a $1,000 NFT. So here's $5. Really? I want that Cena shirt. I ain't spending $1,000 on an NFT, but I want that Cena shirt. I imagine you'll be able to get those Cena shirts without having to spend $1,000. Guys, we're going to take a break. We're going to have a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Attention, listeners across the galaxy. From Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0 that orbits your pants will make you feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com, getting 20% off and free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL. Listen, you don't want to look like you're in a blood feud with your own wiener and balls. And Manscaped makes sure that's the case. The new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, it's here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, your balls, your butt, even your anus. The fourth generation trimmer comes with cutting-edge ceramic blades to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. Has a 7,000 RPM motor, a new multifunction on-off switch that can engage a travel lock, and is even waterproof. Has a 4000K LED spotlight you can turn on and off. Plus, it's got the weed whacker for your nose and ear hairs. It's got the crop preserver, ball deodorant, the crop reviver. They even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 2.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. 20% off plus free shipping with the code FIGHTFUL at checkout.
Let's go back to the beginning of this show, Alex Pulowski. It felt like about 10 years ago.
Yeah, it does.
RK-Bro against AJ Styles and Omos. RK-Bro picking up the victory, getting the tag team titles. Randy Orton hit AJ Styles with the RKO for the win. Match went about 7 minutes. Look, RK-Bro's over on Raw. That's one of the top acts they have. So yeah. I'm fine with this. What do you think?
I certainly thought they were planning didn't have an RK Bro victory. I was really disappointed they didn't at least attempt a double RKO on Omos. Like, I thought that was teased for so long that, like, both Riddle
and Randy in their singles matches with Omos tried it, and he was like, "Nah, get the hell off me." But if you like, if get one guy on each side of his neck, maybe you can pull him down and do it. I'm not saying you would pin the guy off of it because I think you shouldn't pin him just willy nilly. But I think you could take him out of the match that way, and then you could have them pin AJ. But I was sure they were going to do it. And I was really looking, that was the most anticipated match for me on Raw, on the Raw side of things, because I was so sure I was going to get to see that really fun moment. And now I'm going to try it. And I was like, oh, that sucks. This company finds different ways of disappointing me. I just didn't think they had it.
That one's your fault. You had expectations.
That's my fault. Oh, that's absolutely my fault. I had expectations. They wanted to deliver me a moment. And I mean, they're so rare in trying to deliver moments that I thought this was fine. I did appreciate specifically Matt Riddle's sell on the reverse DDT off the backflip off the apron, because it looked like he was transported to another dimension. Like that was fun. It was, as you said, 7 minutes long. It was a lot shorter than I thought they were going to do, but it got a big pop from the crowd for the opener, and that's all they needed. And now we're going to get to see RK-Bro having antics on Raw.
I thought it was a good choice for the opener. It probably could have gone a little bit longer, honestly, but they packed a lot of action into the 7 minutes. I look forward to seeing it on Monday in the rematch. Alexa Bliss, Eva Marie, Alexa won. Doudrop was like, I'm out. Peace. Look, what do you want me to say about this match?
It never should have happened. Eva slapped the shit out of a doll, and that pissed off Alexa enough that she won. And then afterwards, Doudrop like turned on her and like said, you know, that she got a mic, said the loser of this match is Eva Marie. And then she put on her robe, said talk to the hand, and walked out. And here's the thing. I'm pretty sure tomorrow night, or excuse me, 2 nights from now on Raw, Doudrop and Eva will be back together, walking around together like it was nothing, because they never actually go forward with story progression. But like, if this is the end of Eva Marie and Doudrop, great. Doudrop can go off and do her own thing, because Piper Niven is really talented, and Eva is whatever Eva is, man. It's just not.
She's bad not on purpose, Alex Pulowski.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I forgot that that's what you want in wrestlers, to be bad on purpose. Or, excuse me, sports entertainer. You want people to be not entertaining and also not good at sports.
I don't know why this was on the show. And Alexa, bless her. She didn't even get like the biggest reaction in the world. I don't know what they're doing with this stuff. I don't know where you go with Alexa. Like, the story was more about Eva and Piper, which is fine. If they let Piper just be Piper, then I'm good. But like, I have no idea.
The thing about this stuff, you have a possessed doll, okay, that can hypnotize people. If you listen, I know some people hate any kind of supernatural spooky stuff. I'm okay with it as long as you commit to it, and they're not committing to it. Like once you've opened the Pandora's box of Alexa Bliss has a homicidal possessed demonic doll that can hypnotize people, why isn't she having the doll hypnotize everybody and have them do her bidding? Like once you've said this is a thing that's possible, you actually have to do it. So otherwise don't do it at all. Just have her be spooky goth girl without a prop that is ostensibly of the devil.
You have to go, like you said, you got to go all in with this stuff or just don't do it. And sometimes they will, like with the Bray stuff, they would go all in with it. And with some of the early Alexa stuff, they were kind of trying, but now that like crowds are back and they can't just like use much camera tricks and everything, they're not doing it the same. And it sucks, man. I can't even like pretend to do a bit about it. It just sucks. Yeah. Sheamus and Damian Priest, I thought they had a very good match.
Yes.
It ends with, look, Sheamus brings out, say what you will about the guy, he brings out the best in a lot of people because he's going to go out there and slug the shit out of you.
Yep.
And like, if you're willing to fire back like Priest is, you're just going to have a hard hitting affair that the crowd can get behind. Damian Priest pulls the mask off, hits him with the spin kick, and then hits him with the Reckoning. I guess they've now changed it back to the Reckoning because Reckoning is gone. so they can use that name again.
I think Hit the Lights is a better name for it anyway, but whatever.
hit the Reckoning and got the victory. Damian Priest gets the United States title. Sheamus had one defense of the United States title after winning it at WrestleMania. He's had the belt since WrestleMania and it defended it one time.
I think he might have more if he hadn't broken his nose, but at the same time, it wasn't like the broken nose happened a week after he won it.
Yeah.
Like he had weeks there where he could have been defending it. And the whole gimmick was that he didn't want to defend it. Like he kept having non-title open challenges, which is stupid. Like I think Sheamus has had one of the best Renaissance like moments of his career where he's like come back from like being basically, is he going to come back? Like he had like spinal stenosis or something. And he came back, he lost a lot of weight, looks in great shape and has had great matches for the past year or so, but it's cool. They gave him the US title, but he didn't do anything with it. And the US title has kind of fallen off the map. Because of them not booking it strong. So it's really, this was one of the highlights in ring bell to bell for me of all the matches tonight. And it feels like an afterthought because the title feels like an afterthought because Damian Priest feels like an afterthought because he was riding high after Mania. And what do? They have him almost exclusively wrestle the two dudes he beat at Mania for months. So hopefully I never have to see him in the ring with Miz or Morrison ever again. And now he's the champion, and he can go on and have matches with good matches with other good heels in on Raw. I don't know who those might be, but maybe we'll find him. Let's see. I want to see a T-Bar versus Damian Priest match.
Good.
That would be a great match. And it, like, does T-Bar have to win? No. But could it be a hell of a fun 7.5 minutes on an episode of Raw? Yeah, it could. Let's do that.
Usos against Mysterios in a match you've seen 1,000 times. Look, it's always good. I have no issue. These teams can wrestle 1,000 times, and it's always going to be good. The problem is, it's just like, what new stuff can you do? Right? The Usos win. It was another good match. Crowd loves Rey. I don't know where they go with it. I assume this is another thing. They'll probably just do it again on Friday in some capacity. No, people seem to think Dom is going to turn. I don't know if that's the case. What do you think?
Dom's not going to turn, but like the Usos, I mean, here's the thing. You would think the Usos are primed to have a really fun feud with the Street Profits. The Street Profits can't stop losing to Otis. So do you know what I want to see? I want to see Gable and Otis versus the Usos. Give them 12 minutes on an episode of SmackDown. Let Otis just drop Vader bombs on people. I don't care who they're aligned with, heel or face. I want to see that. I'm not going to get it. You know what I'm going to get? The Mysterios versus the Usos at the next pay-per-view and probably the one after that too.
Next pay-per-view is Extreme Rules. They got to do it in a kendo stick match or some shit. Like,
yeah,
that's what they'll do. We're going to see Usos and Mysterios.
We're going to see Usos versus Mysterios in an Extreme Rules match that's going to like be the feud blow-off. But that means they got to keep this feud going for another 4 weeks. Oh, I can't wait to see. Let's see. Hey, last week, Ray beat Jay. Let's see if this week that we can see Dominic beat Jimmy. Oh, no, Jimmy beat Dominic, which means you got to go back to the beginning. And next week is Jimmy versus Ray. I don't need to say any of that crap anymore, man. I just don't.
Joshua Baker says the new Mysterio shirts are too good to break up for the breakup to happen anytime soon. Yeah, I that's just what people are thinking, that they're going to turn Dom at some point. I don't think it's happening anytime soon.
I mean, although a heel Dominic Mysterio would be comical, just for the lulls, that would be hilarious to watch him try and be a bad guy.
Yeah,
like scowling all over the place, really, really bad acting. That would be a lot of fun.
Pair him up with Eva; they'll get over real quickly. Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal, in another match that definitely needed to be on this show. Drew won, and like 4.5 minutes.
And Jinder was like, please don't hurt me. Like, I'm sorry. Are you or are you not a former WWE champion. Like, you should never have been in my book, but they made you one. You held the belt for a long time. You don't get to come out and say, I'm a former WWE champion. Why doesn't anybody respect me? And then get in the match with another former WWE champion and go, oh, please, please, Mr. McIntyre, don't hurt me with your big foot. What is this? And also, okay, so Drew won the match, so Veer and Shanky aren't allowed to be at ringside, but he is allowed to bring the sword. Is he allowed to commit murder with the sword? Like,
yeah, he can always commit murder with the sword. The thing is, Drew's just a nice guy, so he's just not going to do it.
Okay, so he's got basically like immunity from all future prosecutions for sword murder, because yes. After he beat Jinder, then Veer and Shanky came down to check on their friend, and he literally chased them all out of the ring swinging a sword. And he said to Shanky, you came this close for me chopping your head off. And like, so if you had, would we be like, yay, Drew, you just murdered a guy with a sword for checking on his friend? Like this goes, this is the thing. It goes, this is the, me and Drew go way back to the time where he murdered his opponent's pet to get over as a baby face. Yeah. I mean, whatever you're going to do. It's just a thing that Drew's an asshole, and we like it, I guess.
Look, man, they gotta do something with this sword payoff. Somebody in chat says a Punjabi prison match. Maybe he chops his way out of the Punjabi prison or something. They gotta do something. I don't care if you CGI it. Cut somebody's head off, all right? Like, let's pay off with this sword.
There has to be something better for Drew to do than mess around with Jinder for another month or two. Like, we have to find something better for Jinder. I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. Something else, because this is not good. It's bad television.
I think they're trying to, they're worried about the backlash with him, so they're trying to keep him down. And Jinder is the way to do it, because you know Drew's going to get cheered against Jinder. And they can say, yeah, hey, we kept him out of the title picture for a little bit. And then they'll eventually elevate him back up when Goldberg gets the title or whatever. They desperately need some type of shakeup, because Raw, like, I don't know who's facing Lashley after Goldberg. And if Goldberg gets his title, I don't know who's facing him. Raw is just void of top guys right now.
Here's what happens. We'll talk about Goldberg and Lashley in a bit. But Goldberg gets to get the title in Saudi at Signs of Time, and then he's going to keep it. He's going to face Roman in a title versus title match at Survivor Series, because they always do those. And then it doesn't matter who wins that match, because nobody loses their title. And then he's going to keep it until the Rumble. Goldberg is going to win the title in Saudi and keep it until he loses it at the Rumble. To who? I don't know, but who cares?
I hope you're right. I hope Goldberg just stays the champion forever. Who cares? Who cares at this point? Firm Flim Flam Man Drew says, Miss Drew and Jinder, and looked through Twitter to see who won. Never found out because I guessed
that. Nobody tweeted about it.
Good submission of that match. Raw Women's Title, Triple Threat, Nikki Ash, Charlotte, Rhea Ripley. Look, Charlotte was the star of this match, I thought. Mm-hmm. And she capped it off with a victory, 12-time Women's Champion. I didn't think this match is bad or anything. I like all three performers. I am actually a fan of Charlotte. I think she is very good.
She's incredibly good. Yeah.
Yes. Do I wish that they booked her a little bit differently? Yes. Yes. And this was once again highlighted here, and that she was incredible in this match. She was the star of this match. Did she need to win after she got the title last month and then she lost it the next night and she gets the title again? It just feels like they're boosting those numbers to quickly hit 17. And it's like, none of these title reigns are memorable.
Like especially this one, like you had Nikki A.S.H. win this match win the Money in the Bank. And then the next night she cashes in, and it feels like you've given her a month, and you have decided she's not over enough. And so now it's her fault, and so not your fault. And so we're going to take the title back off of her and put it back on Charlotte. And my thought was, if you were just going to do that, then making Nikki the champ was a bad idea, because it kind of made all of her promos seem weird.
if she's not the champion and she's trying to be the champion, all of the stuff of every little setback is okay because I know eventually I'm going to climb that mountain. That to me is much more relatable than I'm the champion and I know I've lost these six non-title matches in a row, but the next time I think I'm going to do it. That is ridiculous. It seems like something wrong with your brain that's how you're processing all of these losses as champion. So now she's lost. She's lost the title. She's no longer champion. And I don't know what you do with her from here.
They are great at booking an underdog, and they have an ultimate underdog as almost superhero, and they immediately put the title on her to where it's like, you've accomplished your end game here. End game should be the title, and we're just immediately going to do that. And it's like, wait, but you're still the underdog. So even though you're the champion, we're going to have you lose. And then she's like, well, I almost got you. Like, you're the champ. You should have higher standards than almost winning these matches.
And then they had her tap out. They had her tap out to lose the title. Like that's – there's other ways of doing the thing you want to do, which is to make Charlotte the champion again. I mean, am I personally glad that Rhea didn't have to tap out in order to do it? Yes, because I like Rhea, and I think keeping Rhea strong is more important than keeping Nikki strong. But I don't feel like it kind of belies all this stuff if Nikki's like, oh, my leg hurts. I guess I'll give up now. I thought your whole thing was like, don't give up, because that's what, like, I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's a ridiculous thing. She almost didn't tap out.
Right.
She almost didn't tap out.
She was almost a winner.
Yeah. CJ Dar says, why give Nikki A.S.H. Money in the Bank if you're just going to do this? They do this every single year with the women and the Money in the Bank. They give it to them, and then within 24 hours, they have it cashed in.
Or you do something like, but they have a cash in. I don't mind the cash in as long as you have a plan for what's going to happen after the cash in is successful. Like, you have a plan. This is what we're going to do. Apparently, the plan was, well, you're just going to keep it for a month. We're going to title back to Charlotte. Like, they had Bayley cash in almost immediately on Charlotte, and Bayley kept the title for like 400 days. So, like, that is a plan. Well, she lost it and then got right back.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think in this instant, I don't expect Nikki Cross to get the title right back. I don't think that's a thing that's going to happen.
I don't know where they go. Like, who else is on Raw in this women's division? I know you can say, like, okay, there's Asuka. You can do something with Shayna. There's Nia. They haven't built, like, any of these.
Listen, ones. Here's the thing. Like, I hate to think this, but after last week, that tag match and Nia taking offense to Charlotte slapping her on the butt, we might get a Nia versus Charlotte match at Extreme Rules. Won't that be fun?
Don't put that out there, Alex Blowski.
Listen, I hate it too. I'm not booking this shit. I'm just saying what they might do because I apparently I like to be depressed. I don't know.
just don't put that out there. Nerd Guru says, also, what in the ever loving fuck was the point of Nikki A.S.H. existing to goose Flair's numbers? I mean, who cares about Raw, honestly? I'm fine with the Nikki A.S.H. character. Is it my cup of tea? No. Do I understand why it exists? Sure. Just book it the way it should be booked. It's an almost superhero. It's an underdog. It's somebody who should be fighting from underneath. You immediately put the title on her, and it's like, well, you kind of just immediately ruined that. So not great. Not great at all. What was next on the show? Edge and Seth Rollins. Edge comes out with the Brood theme. Yeah, like a mixture of the Brood theme, and then on this day, Seth Rollins with the drip. Look, this match ruled. They played the hits here. All right, Rollins was hitting pedigrees, stomps, hitting. Of course, he did the deal, bust out the Phoenix Splash and everything. Edge hitting his usual stuff: Education, Educator, Glam Slam. They did all their big moves in this match. The crowd completely ate it up. I absolutely love this match. Edge got the victory. It was the best match on the show, I thought, by far. And yeah. I like the Roman and Cena match, but like nothing was close to this match.
Yeah, this was everything.
And Edge wins with a modified sleeper hold after. Like, he had the cross face, Rollins broke it, and just slammed it. I love when guys just like slam people in the mat. I'll never forget when Brock and Bryan did it. Like, that spot rules so much. And then Edge and Rollins did it here, put him in the sleeper, got it. I thought this match was great.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's everything. It's everything I wanted out of the match. I'll tell you,
Remember I said this thing's going to go 28 minutes, and after about minute 21, I'm going to lose interest. But that wasn't the case. But I was really worried about it when Rollins was spending way too long walking around on the outside of the ring about 2 minutes into the match. And I was like, are they just artificially like fluffing the match length so it's going to be 32, 35 minutes? Because I don't need to see any more of those. And I'm really happy to say that they didn't. Like, everything, it all made sense by the end. One of my favorite moments of the entire night was Rollins coming out with the jacket and everything. And Michael Cole says, looks like something from Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And then Pat McAfee, 2 minutes later, yeah, it looks like Sergeant Popper or whoever. It's like, Sergeant Pepper. Yeah, whoever that is. And Michael Cole being honestly offended that Pat McAfee didn't know the greatest Beatles album of all time. And I thought that was really funny. And I really, honestly, the Michael Cole and Pat McAfee thing of like the put upon dad and his son, who's just uncontrollable, is a really cool relationship to have as a two-man booth. They're really good together. And I did not think they were going to be. And they add so much to these matches. And I thought that this was everything was supposed to be. Edge got to break out all. Not only is he going back to like old theme songs, but he's going back to all of his old moves. Like the Educator, such a great submission move that nobody uses. Like, it looks so brutal because the guy's all twisted around with his knees in knots, and you get to stand there and just stare daggers at the back of his head. Like, it's a really cool move that nobody uses. The Education was always one of my favorite DDTs ever. All this stuff was great, and I love that he just choked the life out of Seth Rollins. Like, that was, it wasn't like a move that he was doing. He did a crossface, and it was like, no, now I'm going to do a crossface kind of, but mostly I'm just going to choke you until you pass out. Yeah. And I thought that was really, really brutal and excellent. And now I've seen it, and I worry that we're going to see it again and then again and then again, and that I'm not going to want to see it anymore.
I don't think Edge is the kind of guy that's just going to be wrestling every week on SmackDown, so I'm less worried about that. I do think they run this back
at least
Extreme Rules.
Yeah, that's
they do some type of gimmick match but see, I think if you would have done that, I was going to say like Seth probably should have won then, because then Edge has to go even darker. But maybe now the story is that, like, all right, Seth is like, you know what? You showed to me you can go dark. Now, like, I can go darker, and now let's do like the eye for an eye match at Extreme Rules. It's coming, Alex.
No, it's coming. It's Seth's speciality.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a match that he invented. He's 1-0. There's never been another one. It was a huge success the first time with the ping pong ball that was colored red. Remember that? Remember how terrible that was? So we're gonna do it again this time. We're definitely
doing it again.
Seth is going to challenge Edge to an eye for an eye match. Edge is going to accept it, and Seth is going to be 2-0 in eye for an eye matches. And then we're going to get eye patch Edge, and that's going to be a lot of fun.
Look, everyone, when this happens, please come back to this podcast. I'll clip it. Look, if this happens, I'm going to clip the shit out of it. It's going to be all over my Twitter, okay? And when Alex and I review the Extreme Rules post show, everyone, I ain't reading no super chats unless it's over $100, all right? And you gotta pay all the monies when this thing comes true, all right? Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Flim Flam Manager says, Edge concussing Seth to death was the best. That spot rolled. Absolutely loved it. Bobby Lashley and Goldberg, they did what you would expect out of these two men. Some spears, some power spots, some tried for the jackhammer, tried for some hurt locks. And in the end, Goldberg hurt his knee. And he's just like, well, can't continue. Lashley just smashed the shit out of his knee. Ref is like, can't continue. And then so Lashley just grabbed a chair and just continued to smash the shit out of his knee. And then Goldberg's son jumps in the ring, and Lashley just chokes him out with the hurt lock. And MVP's like, well, I didn't know it was his kid. Could have been anybody. Fair point, right? Fair point. And Goldberg looked on in distress. We'll see you in Saudi.
That's it. That's the way it's going. That's the way it's going to be. When this match wasn't over in the first 3 minutes, I was like, oh – how overbooked is this shit gonna get? Because that's basically all Goldberg has. If you let him go full speed, all he's got is 3 minutes. So once it went beyond that, I was like, this is gonna have a wacky finish. What's it gonna be? How's it gonna get involved? And then MVP just clocked him in the back of the knee with his cane, and Goldberg turned around like, is that how they do things around here now? Like, yes, it is, Bill. I know you've been away for a while, but yes, this is how we do things. But Bobby Lashley's look on his face when they called the match was like, why would you?
They had to protect Goldberg, brother. You couldn't just take it to the wall.
Bobby, you've been running that man's knee into the ring post for the last 7 minutes. You can't be shocked when they call the match because his knee is hurt. Like, you accomplished it. You won the match. You hurt the man. You're like, but I wanted to keep beating him up. That was my second favorite reaction shot that they got from somebody in one of the top two matches of the night. The other one was Cena. When he hit the AA on Reigns through the table, and then the crowd sort of like went crazy, and he realized, oh, if I roll him into the ring, I might be able to win. He does this thing where he looks in the ring and then looks back at Roman, then looks at the ring, he's like, I was like, you're doing Scooby-Doo reactions, John. You got to tone it down a little bit. You're a top tier actor now. This was a lot of fun, actually, with beating up of Goldberg, because I like seeing Goldberg in pain. But beyond that, when Gage hits the ring, when his kid hits the ring, and he chokes and tries to give him on a sleeper hold, and just it was just watching Lashley, because you know how strong that guy is. I mean, he's a 15-year-old kid. He's not fully grown, but he's not small. And he just like goes yoink and just like chokes him out in like 2 seconds. And I love that MVP's like, whoa, 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 whoa. They're okay, everybody. Listen, I know what it looks like. I know it looks like my friend Bobby Lashley has just committed felony assault against a minor, but there's no possible way he could have known he was a minor. It's okay if he committed felony assault against an adult.
Look, this man jumped into the ring and attacked him, all right? I'm not holding Lashley responsible for any of this.
In all fairness, the boy started it. That's what I'm going to say. Yeah. And then Lashley had to finish it. But I love that as they're leaving, Goldberg has his son try and recover and just, I'm going to kill you! And then they should have said, at Sands of Time. Because that's basically what we know. The crown prince of the Saudi has said, yes, bring me the large bald Jew. He amuses me. And so, well, we got to bring Goldberg here because that guy said so. So now we're going to get Goldberg beating. Goldberg is almost invincible in Saudi matches. Like only Undertaker can beat him. But that's it.
That happened in Nam, not Saudi. Yeah. Nikolai Kreese says, Gage Goldberg is basically we have Hook at home. Zadie Smith says, I thought it would have been great moments that Big E come out and stop Lashley when he was dismantling Goldberg. Could have been nice. I thought we were getting that. I really did. Once Goldberg's kid got in there, I was like, okay, maybe not. But like, as he was beating Goldberg's leg with the chair, I was like, oh man, I think Big E's going to come out and like basically like save his hero here. Lashley's fresh. It ain't like he's like cashed in on a Lashley that's like worn down or anything. Like Lashley's still pretty fresh. He's like, you know what? Like, I'm sick of this. Let's go right now. And then Big E gets to, I thought that's where they were going. Obviously they didn't, because we got to have Goldberg and Saudi.
Yeah, no, we're doing that match. Get used to it. Goldberg's winning that match. Get used to the thought of Goldberg versus Roman. When we could have Lashley versus Roman, because an underrated match that has like nobody remembers is Lashley versus Roman, like 2 or 3 Extreme Rules ago or whatever it is. They had a really great singles match that they let Bobby win. He beat Reigns clean. Yeah. And which was, and then immediately after that, they gave Roman the number one contendership to the title.
I remember
like,
this.
Like what? But I really wanted to see more than anything. They said, no, Alex, you don't get to get the things you want months ago. But a while ago I said, I need to see the entirety of the Hurt Business, because they were together at this time. I wanted this. And the entirety of the Bloodline in 6-man tags leading up to
leading up to the Survivor Series, and then the Usos versus Cedric and Shelton, and Bobby versus Roman at Survivor Series. I thought there was a chance we were going to get that. No, just kidding. Instead, you're going to get Goldberg versus Reigns, the match we were supposed to have at Mania. We're, by God, we're going to do it anyway.
Let me catch up on all these super chats. Thank you guys for all the support tonight and last night with the SmackDown show and the Rampage show where a guy named CM Punk returned. Nerd Guru says, did we already talk about how the USA executives are exploding due to Fox getting Brock and Becky? Because, well, I think USA is going to do like okay in the draft. I don't know if they're going to get both Brock and Becky, but they're going to get something in this draft because they ain't trying to do USA too dirty. Because, I mean, USA is a Peacock property, and like their pay-per-views are still on Peacock. They still got to like appease that pretty well. Zach Barber says, give Becky both belts. Raw's a wasteland. Yeah, this is where the draft's got to come in. They gotta shake some things up.
They here. Need that soon.
Yeah, it's supposed to be when? October?
Like early October. That's too long from now. Do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
We need it now, man.
Jeff Carborn says, LOL, at Becky returns immediately to squash Belair. What soulless booking? I didn't think it'd be possible to screw up Becky's return. Here we are. Yeah, man. Totally did. Harry Yazawa says, Biggie with the briefcase, Brood Edge returns, Becky returns, Lesnar returns. All that to possibly counter CM Punk's return, and they missed the point. I don't know if all of this was the counter Punk's return. I think they had a lot of it already planned out. Like Becky's supposed to, people were talking about her being back at Mania. Brock, I don't know how quickly that came together, but they've wanted him back. They want him back the second he leaves, essentially. So it wasn't really the counter, but they did miss the point with some of it. JJ Lee says, just left SummerSlam. Crowd died after Bianca got screwed, then came back during what do we have? Okay. The crowd died after Bianca got screwed, then came back during Edge and Seth. The tale of two returns, nailed one, botched the other. WWE in a nutshell. Yeah. Shane Heckman, my guy, says that was fun. Angela, Phil, and Wyatt say hi. Tell them I said hi. Shane, hope you're doing well, buddy. Tony P says Vince was wrapped in his safety blankie tight with these finishes and results. Van Twinblade says 1 out of 5 show Vince retire challenge. That was a 1 out of 5. What was your overall rating for this show?
I don't know, maybe 2.5 out of 5. Like there were just enough, like they end up shooting themselves in the foot so many times with really crazy booking decisions and matches on the card that didn't need to be on the card. Nobody needed to see Eva Marie and Alexa on this card. Jinder and Drew didn't need to be on this card. Those matches were so bad, they weighed down the overall rating. Like if you remove them overall, the match, the night's better because that bad stuff isn't there. If they don't botch the Becky return so badly, then that's like this, it counteracts the Becky return without that terrible booking of Bianca. It inflates it with the terrible booking of Bianca. It brings it down. Like it was really uneven, but like my second favorite match bell to bell on the entire show is Damian Priest versus Sheamus.
Yeah.
With the matches they booked for the show. And I'm including Sasha versus Bianca in there because they told us right before the match didn't happen that it was going to happen. With the matches you booked for the show, the second best match can't be Sheamus versus Damian Priest.
I thought Cena and Reigns was the second best match, but I can see, like, if that's not your cup of tea, I completely get it. Edge and Rollins was great. I didn't have high expectations for this match, for this show, because I was only interested in like 3 matches. One delivered, the other I thought was good, and the other didn't take place. And then the one that didn't take place, they had something for it and they screwed it up. The rest of the show just kind of was what it was. It didn't get like a ton of time. The matches were fine. Some of them were like the 2 tag matches. Good stuff. Priest and Sheamus, good. Didn't get like a ton of time or anything, but they were what it needed to be. A 2.5 out of 5 is very fair. Myron Kidd said, where was the pyro tonight for SummerSlam?
That's apparently it was a venue call that was okay. It was forbidden by the venue. Which if that was the case, you maybe should have looked into that before booking the venue, because it's a big deal. Like, I felt like Goldberg, for one, wasn't told there would be no sparks, because he stood there at the top of that weird curvy ramp forever, and I was like, what are you waiting for, Bill? Are you waiting for your sparks? Because that's not allowed by the venue.
Well, they're going back to that venue for Money in the Bank next
year.
They
are. If they've gotten a call that they're like, no, next year they'll be able to do sparks.
Yeah. Brian Heath says SRS taking Denise style dumps. And he also says Sean's going to sleep. Sean hasn't tweeted in like an hour. He's definitely sleeping, because his work is just, he just tweets. He didn't actually do any work. Some Stupid Punk says Luke Owens is going to be a papa. And then again, he says, thank you, missed it. Luke Owens is going to be a dad. No, we didn't miss it. I was just saving it to the end to congratulate Luke.
That's right.
Jeez. But thank you for sending it twice. We appreciate that. And finally, Jamesito Gomez says, now that SRS mentioned TakeOver, think it'll be a thumbs up emoji. And that leads me into the final thing of the night before we get out of here. TakeOver tomorrow night. I'm going for my fourth straight show fourth straight. I did show on Thursday, show on Friday, show today, show tomorrow. Denise and I will be back for TakeOver tomorrow. You know, we get CM Punk return on Friday. We get Becky and Brock on Saturday. What do we got on TakeOver? Alec, who is the big return that they can bring? They're going to have The Rock. The Rock's going to show up in NXT. You imagine Capital Wrestling Center? He's like, let me introduce my daughter to everybody. They got to have something for TakeOver, right?
They got to have something for TakeOver.
Rude coming back to NXT.
There's a thing. They did that ridiculous thing where Mandy Rose showed up for 2 weeks just hanging out. And now she hasn't been there for like 3 weeks. I have no idea what's going on with that. So we know it's possible they could just demote somebody to NXT. So they could do that. They could have somebody who's like, here's the thing. Like if Ricochet showed up back in NXT, where at least they would let him be a possible title contender. Like, would that be bad for Raw? No, they're not using him for anything. Would it be great for Ricochet in NXT? Yeah, it'd be a lot of fun to watch Ricochet bounce around and do some cool stuff. But I mean, is that possible? Sure. Do I think it's going to happen? No. I think TakeOver tomorrow is going to be really depressing, honestly.
I think so too. I think so as well. And like after this weekend, man, I'm just like, oh, like we're going to end the weekend with like the least anticipated.
I hope they just do the right thing. Have Samoa Joe choke out Karrion Kross.
30 seconds.
Just have him just choke the guy out immediately. Prove his dominance. Karrion Kross can go be 500 2-2, 3-3, 4-4. Just keep 50-50 booking Karrion Kross on the main roster without the gold around his waist.
30 seconds. That's what I want from that match. Because I know Colin O'Reilly is going to go about 50 minutes. And I'm going to be like, oh, no, come on, guys. And I love both those guys. I don't need that thing for 50 minutes. Mm-hmm. Guys, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Alex, let everyone know where they can find you at.
You can find me on the Twitter at Alex Sour Graps. I do the Sour Graps show twice a week on Fightful Select. There will be a special edition of that. I want to say tomorrow afternoon for the 200th episode where I will read aloud and crack wise on an old magazine article that did a fantasy booked match between Hulk Hogan and Mike Tyson. It is the most off the wall, bizarre, bonkers shit you've ever heard in your life. And I think it's a lot of fun. People will like it. So.
I very much look forward to that. And also catch Alex reviewing NXT.
That's true.
We're kicking his ass in the ratings.
Yes, you are. Yes, with good cause. Because there's not been good shows. And people don't like me talking about NXT by myself. Which is why I've recruited Kate Hensler to come on and start being my co-host at least some of the time. And starting with this Tuesday for the funeral of NXT. Let's hope it's not. We're gonna have to wear like black veils and start saying the last rites before every show.
Everyone follow Alex. Thank you, Alex, for doing these shows with me the past two nights. Okay, Denise and I will be back tomorrow for NXT Takeover. I assume Denise is out like partying tonight in Vegas and stuff. I might get a text from her tomorrow afternoon. She's like, Jeremy, I just got back. I don't know how I'm doing this show. And Alex, I'm going to message you and be like, you ready for the hat trick, buddy? We're going
Let's
three for
do
three.
It. Let's do it.
Everyone, thank you. Thank all you right. for all the support over the past couple of days. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Go to Fightful Select. Sign up there. Leave us a thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. Twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Go over there.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, thank you guys again for all the support. We'll catch you guys tomorrow right back here with NXT TakeOver 36.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.